How was Max Mania, Chris? I meant to ask you.
It's pretty cool. They have a very large selection of cards. Like, their whole wall is just boxes and boxes of cards. They had a pretty decent sized play area, two separate unisex bathrooms, but both of them were nice.
Sweet. Yes.
So that was cool. And then right across the street, there's another game store called Pegasus. They mostly do, I think, like role-playing games and stuff. It's smaller, but it was a nice store. I would go back there again. Their staff seem pretty interesting. I don't know where, like, I don't know about Adrian and where, like Sam and all them might play. I don't know if they go there at all. I did mention I liked Adrian Sullivan to the guy I played, and he seemed to be around the area, and he's like, "Oh yeah, he's really cool," and da da da. So, but yeah, it was a cool store. I would go there again.
So remember how I went to Eternal Extravaganza a couple weeks ago? They announced that they're going to be having a second one in October.
Oh wow. There'll be a lot of stuff in October then.
Right, and people were like, "Are you going to go?" And the only thing I could think about were the bathrooms.
Oh God, yes.
And I'm just like, "Oh," I was like, "Are they going to fix the bathrooms? Because I'm not flying to go to your home."
Like, you gotta fix that Silent Hill bathroom. I'm so sorry.
Right.
You're like, I am not gonna poop on your floor, sorry. My standards are higher than that.
I don't know. Just after the way she described it, it just felt very, like, sort of Peeping Tom-esque, and that's why I was like, I don't think I would like that, walking in on someone else, possibly. No thanks.
Silent Hill bathroom.
Yeah, man, if you ever played that game, you know it's a bad deal.
They did just add they did add four of the Saw movies to Netflix, so
Oh, yeah, it's
God.
like that.
Yeah, so whichever one suits your fancy, you know? If you want to be in a bathroom that's so dirty you'd rather saw your foot off to get out of it, there's the Saw movies. If you'd rather, you know, tussle with pyramid heads, then you've got Silent Hill. There's a bathroom for
We should have like
everybody.
a bathroom ranking scale that's like Saw 1 through 5. And then whichever
Oh
one's like the worst. I guess I haven't seen the Saw movies, so I need to catch up, and then I can also use this ranking scale. But you know, like Saw 5 is like the worst or whatever. I haven't seen them all.
I like Chris's idea where it's like, okay, so there's Saw at one level, Silent
Hill at another level.
Oh my God. Like, I don't know. When you talked about the bathrooms and you said that there was like a separate sink area, have you ever been to that roller rink in Fond du Lac? They have a similar setup. It's like, because it used to be a skating rink, or it still is, or it moonlights as Magic Arena every once in a while, they have this sink area, and then the men's bathroom is right behind the sink area. And when I went there the first time, I was like, where's the women's bathroom? And I had to go find this woman who worked there, and she took me to like this door, and we open it up, and there's all this like random shit just like shoved in there. There's like plants and like benches and just all kinds of stuff. I'm like, where is this from? And she's like, we had to put some storage in here, and there's two stalls. I'm like, where am I gonna pee? So I'm just trying to like spelunk my way to the bathroom, and it was just unreal. And then when I got out of there, I felt awkward because I'm like, where's the sink? And they're like, you have to use it out there. I'm like, ugh, no. And then I touched the door handle. No. It was a bad deal. And same as you saw, dudes were like, well, back to the magic table. It's like, hello, there's a sink right there. There are like six of them. And I couldn't believe that no one would no one would touch it. It was just like, It's very inconvenient.
I will say one of the best bathrooms I ever went to. I don't know if you can't. I mean, it really wasn't at the tournament itself, but when we went to the WMCQ a couple years ago, me and Adrian and Jamie, we went to a restaurant down the street, and their bathroom, their female bathroom, was amazing. It had like hairsprays and a curling iron and like mints and soaps and those little floss picks, and oh my goodness, it was like, wow, we could have just, you know, taken a break in between rounds and curled our hair and thrown on some lip gloss and gone right back there. Like,
Did
wow.
I tell you guys about the time I got locked in the bathroom at a magic tournament?
No.
That's terrifying.
So we went to this town that's an hour away from us, and it's kind of known as like the worst place in Montana. And I say kind of, but like it is.
That's a pretty low bar to meet.
What's the name? I want to know the name now.
No, I want to know what the best place in Montana is.
The best place is Bozeman. Okay. There's, like, no pollution, and a lot of rich people live here, like Johnny Depp and whatnot.
Oh, shit.
Johnny Depp lives in Bozeman, Montana?
Yeah, every January. And then we also have, like, who's that guy that was in The Rookie? Dennis Quaid.
Oh.
Yeah, it's like a... And then I guess the Kardashians came to visit, like, a month ago. It's just, like, a big, famous getaway resort.
And yet you're slumming it with us.
Yeah, I am, because I like you guys. But anyway, so I'm in the bathroom.
You were locked in the bathroom. Okay.
So I go in, and you have to have a key to, like, unlock it. And it has...
I have to interrupt you for a second. Did the key have, like, a really obnoxious keychain?
Yes.
Chain? Okay, because sometimes, you know, some places have, like, a brick attached to it. Yes. You know what I mean.
Yeah. Okay. And so you walk in, and on the left, there's, like, a sink. And then directly across from the sink on the other wall is a urinal that has, like, tape all over it that says, like, do not use. And then it's, like, all dirty and looks icky. And then to the right of the sink, there's, like, a little half wall thing. And then on the other side of that is a toilet. But there's no door in between, like, the urinal and the toilet. Like, there's just, like, this weird half wall. And so I go to the bathroom, and I'd lock the door, obviously, since there's no lock, like, in there. And then I go and I unlock the door, and the door just doesn't open. And I'm like, what? Well, maybe I need to turn it harder. So I'm, like, wrenching on this doorknob. And their bathroom is not actually in their store. It's, like, across this little hallway thing. And so I, like, start pounding on the wall. And I'm like, help! Somebody let me out! And they're like, well, you have the key. And I'm like, oh, Jesus. And I'm like, well, it's unlocked from in here. And so some guy gets, like, a little picky thing, and they're, like, trying to pick at it. And then they're like, well, let's just try it. And they try it, and it just opens. And I was like, what's up with that? And they're like, oh, yeah, you can't lock it. And I was like, who has a bathroom that doesn't lock and doesn't have a
then
stall?
Why they give you a key if you can't lock it?
Right, pro tip. Like, what?
Ugh. Yeah, and I was like, man, I'm going to miss my round. I'm going to be stuck in this shitty-ass bathroom. But I made it out. I was very frightened. I've never been trapped in a bathroom before.
Welcome back to the Girlfriend Racket, episode number 5. I am Patrick Dickman.
I'm Louise Scott Burgess.
I am Jeff Hoogland.
And I'm Brad Nelson.
And welcome back to our show. It is April Fool's Day, in case you couldn't tell by our lovely introductions. And so let's go ahead and get started. I don't know if you all saw this, but we got our first review on iTunes.
Yay!
Thanks, iTunes. Yay.
It is a 5-star review. Which we received from a user named Gatsu083. Thank you so much, Gatsu, for the review. And it's very simple. It says, a great listen, helps pass the time on my night job. Very upbeat and a smiley face. So thank you so much for the love. In case you all don't know this, the reviews really do help on iTunes, the stars and the ratings, because the more of those you have, the more likely your show is to be put on the front page, the more likely you are to be flagged as new and noteworthy, or what's hot, or as a show that people should be looking out for. So if you do enjoy what we do, please take a second to visit iTunes and subscribe and leave us a review and some stars, because it really does make a difference. And if you do that, we will read it on the show, because we love seeing things like that. So the first order of business, there was some news on the pro circuit. We have a pro tour coming up next weekend, I think.
Yep.
Pro Tour Brussels.
Yeah, Brussels.
And Team Ultra Pro was announced. This is a team that is not being sponsored by a game store or a website that we know, like Channel Fireball or Star City Games. It is being sponsored by Ultra Pro Supplies, who makes the binders and sleeves and playmats that you usually see advertised during a Pro Tour. Some of the names on this new team are Paul Rietzel, Matt Sperling, Sam Black. This was pretty big news. What did you all think of this?
I saw that they picked up Justin Cohen.
Cohen.
Who is the Amulet player at the last Pro Tour, and I'm glad that he found a team, because he definitely knew how to pilot that deck. And I expect more from him in the future, so that was cool.
Yeah, it seemed like there were a lot of Madison locals on that team between Sam Black, Justin Cohen. I saw Adrian Sullivan, Ben Rasmussen, a whole bunch of people. So I was wondering if maybe these were some of the people that Sam Black tested with for the last Pro Tour, because I know he and Justin Cohen said that they were testing with some other Madison players.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I found it interesting. One of the things that I noticed is that it doesn't seem like Star City has a team anymore. Like, there was the shakeup last year where a lot of the Star City guys joined Channel Fireball, either Pantheon or the other one. I'm still not really clear how those teams are different. But there was that big shakeup where all those guys went over there, and then some of them went to Team Revolution, some of them went to Mana Deprived, I think, and it just doesn't seem like there's a Star City team anymore. I thought that was really interesting, because they're one of the biggest sites out there.
Right.
I think when all those people left, like, in the announcement that Star City gave, I feel like I remember them saying something like, as of now, we will not be hosting a team, but they might in the future.
I wonder why that is.
Yeah, I don't know.
It seems like they're more focused on promoting their own events these days instead of focusing on the Pro Tour.
Yeah, they probably have a lot to do.
Is that a bad thing?
I don't know. It just seems like that's what they're prioritizing right now.
Okay. Oh, no, I didn't mean that to be, like, snarky. I was just asking, do we think that's a bad thing? Or...
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Their events are really awesome. They get a ton of views whenever they broadcast. Like, their content is pretty good. So, I don't know. I mean, they're obviously doing a bunch of things right.
Mm-hmm. They're certainly getting more viewers than the Wizards coverage does.
Right. Oh, yeah, totally.
No shade.
their video coverage is just so good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is. And it's like miles away good, too. There's not even like any competition where there's a noticeable difference. I remember the last official Wizards event I watched, the camera was literally moving. And you were watching it. So like it would look down at the floor for some reason, and then it would whirl up and like hit a wall or hit a ceiling. Please tell me I'm not the only one who saw this.
I didn't. Which event was that?
Oh, it was the last GP that, I'm not thinking of it. I'm spacing. It was the one with Andrew Boswell in it. GP, the one we just talked about a couple shows ago.
Oh, yeah. That was the one where...
Miami.
Green White Devotion. Right. Yes, Miami.
No, that one. No, because that was a Star City event, so that would have been their coverage.
Was it Memphis?
It was both. Yeah.
Could have been Memphis. I just remember literally seeing the camera, like, just out of control. Like, what are you doing? You would never see that on a Star City event. They would just be, you know, they would be a lot more refined than that, and it blew me away.
Well, I remember them keeping track of life totals on tablets, and I was like, is this FNM?
Yeah.
Very strange.
Yeah, and you also see, you know, the criticism that the coverage guys receive. It's so different for, you know, what people say about Rashad and Randy and Marshall is so different than what people say about Patrick and Cedric and Matthias. You know, the Star City guys seem to be universally loved and they do good work. And I don't hear much good feedback coming towards the other guys from Wizards.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I'm not really sure... That seems to just be, like, an ongoing thing. Like, every time there's a Wizards event, everybody's like, oh, they're not very good. But I don't know how they can, like, improve. Because it is hard to talk for, like, 10 hours straight and be interesting and be correct. But it does seem like, you know, Cedric and Patrick do a really good job at that.
They do. Yeah. And I think that Star City also has a way of making you feel more included. Mm-hmm. Like, Wizards is kind of, like... This is our event. We're broadcasting, whether it's the Pro Tour or Grand Prix or something. But I just feel like Star City kind of brings you in. They have their trivia contest that they do. And I don't know. They just kind of feel like sort of that they're your friends and they're just talking to you about Magic. I don't know. They just have like more of a personable feel.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that also might have to do with the level of competition between the two? Like, not to say that Star City events aren't hard and not that they're not competitive. But, you know, you are more likely to see... the grinder from your local game store on camera at a Star City event than you are at a GP. You are more likely to see more misplays on a Star City stream because you're not seeing the Justin Cohens, you're not seeing the, you know, the Florian Cox or Koch's, you know, whatever. You're seeing more of the neighborhood guys in that scene, and that's why the coverage is more relaxed and more comfortable because of the... Do you know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, I get
it. Okay. Do you think that might have something to do with it?
Could be.
Okay.
Yeah, I think when you're presenting, like, you know, the pro tour is professional REL, something like that, there's just, like, this air of, like, all these lights and all these people getting interviewed. I feel like maybe it feels more like a red carpet thing than, like, a casual afternoon.
Mm-hmm. Well, I feel that way with Grand Prix, too, where I feel like a lot of times, you know, it is more of the big names, where you're seeing, I think the last GP I really sat down and watched a lot of the way through was the one in Canada, the modern one. And you were seeing Chion and Kenji and the big names really getting a lot of that spotlight. And that's not to say that they don't deserve it. But like I said, you weren't likely to see, you know, the more average grinder on camera. It was all about the big names, the big draw, the serious pro players. Than it was, there was just a noticeable difference between the two.
Right. They are always very conscious of who they put on camera at those events.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm kind of glad that they have, like, that we're presented with both, because I like seeing both big names, and I also like for people to have the chance to get their name out there, you know, because there are a lot of people that grind every single weekend that are probably really good at Magic, but they just really haven't, like, placed well yet. We talked about people being, like, on the cusp last episode or a few episodes ago, and I think that it's really cool to be able to see those people, even though they might not have a Pro Tour top eight, but they're still people that you follow and get to see on stream, which you wouldn't at a Grand Prix.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, Hallie, I think I speak for everybody when I say that we definitely noticed your absence last week.
Yeah.
Why didn't don't you notice tell us? Thing. You didn't? Oh, my goodness. Yeah, Megan was pretty awesome. I have to throw that out there.
Yeah, thank you to Megan for filling in for me. You did a nice job.
So, Hallie, tell us what you were doing last week.
So last week I was working at the release at my local game store. Game stores have a lot of work to do building up to the release of a new set on whenever there's like a big release on a Friday. So I basically participated in a big 26-hour endeavor that went on from Wednesday to Friday, which is why I couldn't be here on the Wednesday when we recorded. And there are dozens of volunteers who come to the game store and we help open product. So we're opening the cases and then the boxes and then the individual booster packs. And we take all the cards and we sort them. Because this game store that I worked for has a very large online presence. And they got a lot of orders, pre-orders for singles that they needed to fill. And in order to fill those orders, we needed to crack all these packs looking for the rares and uncommons and whatever that people were looking for and get them to them as quickly as possible. So there were all these teams of people who were cracking packs, sorting cards. Newer volunteers were assigned to these six-person teams, so that we could all work together. And like, we were pretty focused on our work, but there was also a lot of like camaraderie and good conversation. Plus, like, they gave us free catered food, which was pretty nice.
I'll say.
Yeah, they gave us two meals a day. They had an after party afterwards. And one of the people who works at the store used to be a massage therapist. So she called in some favors. And she got a licensed massage therapist to come to the store and massage all the people who had been, you know, bent over tables for hours and hours sorting cards, which was, you know, a nice perk.
Wow. I could definitely open some cards and get a massage.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
I see. So while we were all sweating in front of our desktops on a Wednesday evening, you were getting massages and catered food and kikiing with your friends, opening packs of the latest set. That sounds like fun.
Yeah. I mean, we do open like hundreds of cases of cards, and we have to, there is a lot of pressure on us to get the work done in time, but it's still like a good atmosphere.
I'm imagining this like the scene in Willy Wonka when Veruca's father has that factory full of women and they're all opening the packs to find the golden ticket.
Yeah.
And then you find that one ticket, like, I got to get a foil Narset, and you're all opening packs. And then you hold it up and you're like, I got the foil Narset. And then someone runs down and...
I got a foil Narset. Yeah.
I love it. I love it. So I'm trying to understand the process. So you said that your store has an online presence. So when we go to a store like Star City or TCG Player and we pre-order something, mm-hmm. that means that the store then has to open their boxes, open their packs, and hope to God they have enough of that single to meet the demand.
Yeah, but okay. like I said, they open hundreds of cases. So
cases.
Yeah. So do cases, you have, like six boxes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you know how much you open total?
I don't. I know that my team personally opened like between 15 and 30 cases a day over the course of 3 days. But that was just us. Like there were, like I said, dozens of volunteers working on this.
Wow. So then walk me through this. So you've got your little black, I think they're called dividers, or the thing you can put your piles in.
Yeah, they have these like sorting trays that have a bunch of different compartments. So we sort of like sort the cards by rarity, and then from there we sort them by like groups of letters and then alphabetically.
Wow.
So it's a process that takes several hours.
Ooh. I would imagine you'd never want to open another pack again.
It was weird. I went to the sealed release event at the store like immediately afterwards. Like I got off work at 6 and the release event started at 6:30. And as I was opening my packs, I was just like, oh God, I'm opening them too slowly. Like I need like a knife to cut this. It was just like, I felt like I was doing it so inefficiently the way I usually do it.
That'd be a great way to scare your opponent. You know, they sit you down for the player meeting or whatever, and you just chew into your packs like some feral monster. Like your opponent's like, hey, I'm John. Nice to meet you. What's your name? Rawr! You chew open the pack and he's like, all right, good luck. Have fun. Like,
So do they let, you know, just anybody, like, are they worried about theft if they're letting like volunteers and stuff, or do they have some kind of screening process for that?
I'm not sure exactly what the screening process is. Like, I basically, what they were more concerned about was just like people who could commit the time. So store employees basically approached like regulars at the store who they knew didn't work like traditional 9-to-5 jobs and said like, hey, do you have some time on these 3 days to work on this project with us? And a lot of them are people who the store knows well. And so I assume if there were any issues, they wouldn't have a problem tracking those people down and, you know, holding them accountable for it. But as far as I know, they haven't had any problems.
Cool.
But your week wasn't full of just work. You and Chris participated in PPTQs, yeah?
Yes.
How did those go, ladies?
That was my reaction too. Go on, Haley.
So really good.
So I guess I should talk about the release event first, because that was more of a high note for me. Like so my store has this release F&M that they do quarterly, where on the night that the set comes out, you do whatever the typical sealed arrangement is. So, like, we did 4 packs of Dragons and 2 packs of Fate Reforged, just regular sealed tournament, 4 rounds, regular F&M payout. And I had a really, what I thought was a mediocre pool, but I found that I had a lot of removal in white and black, and that those were, like, clearly my strongest colors. So I was like, cool, I'm just going to play some aggressive creatures. Like, I'm going to play Bloodchin Fanatic with 2 Sultai Emissaries and, like, sacrifice them for value. And I ended up going 4-0 with a deck that I didn't think was all that good.
Wow.
Awesome. And then the next day, I was, like, feeling all confident. I went to my sealed PPTQ. And the pool I opened was really, really bad. Like, the pool that I opened at the sealed tournament the night before wasn't a terrible pool, but it was kind of awkward. Like, I had a Tassiger, and I couldn't really pair it with blue or green. So I was just, like, playing Tassiger for 4 mana and not activating it, which I guess sometimes does things.
He's like, got a big booty.
Yeah, like, it helped a little bit. It held off a lot of my opponents who were playing more aggressive decks. But, like, this pool that I had, it was just, like, it was really, really awkward. Like, I had, like, a Dromoka, and then, like, my green was terrible, and, like, blue was my deepest color, but it didn't really pair well with anything, and, like, I tried to build a black-red aggressive deck, but it just had, like, no removal. Basically, like, my biggest complaint about the pool was it had, like, no removal. There were two collateral damages and an epic confrontation, and that was it. Ooh. Like, no Tail Slash, no Reach of Shadows, no Flatten, none of those, like, common removal spells that are decent and limited. Like, nothing like that. So I did the best I could. I built a Bant deck. I didn't win a single game. It was kind of awkward.
Did you stay for the entire thing?
I didn't. I played two rounds. I didn't win a single game. And then one of my friends texted me and said, hey, do you want to get lunch? Because he lives, like, around the corner from the game store I was playing at. And I was like, you know what? I haven't seen this person in a couple days. So sure, why not? I'll go have lunch with him. So I dropped. I don't know. I wasn't really happy with the pool that I had. I think if I were more confident, or, like, if I at least felt like I had a chance in the games that I was playing, I would have stayed on and kept at it. But I was just kind of demoralized at that point.
Hmm. Chris, how was your experience?
About the same. I did very, very poorly. I did not win a single round. I did win two games, though. Round one, I played, of course, versus a local guy, so I drove 2 hours to play someone from Kenosha area, and he was playing green-white, and he had Collected Company and Dromoka's Command in there. Dromoka's Command is a beating. Oh my god. So I was playing Jeskai aggro. I won the first game because whenever he would Dromoka's Command one of his guys, I would Wild Slash it in response to that, so either nice. Both the things would die, or his would die, and mine was okay, and I'm like, sweet. He didn't like that. He was a little salty after the first game. Then he proceeded to beat me games 2 and 3. I did board in Disdainful Strokes to try to deal with Collected Company and Dromoka's Command, and I never saw any of them. Then round 2, I played a really nice blue-black control player, and he just had all of the counter spells. I loved the fact that he had them because I wish I had them, but I was sad that he played them. But he was a super nice guy. He swept me. It was brutal. But we had a nice chat afterwards about some of our favorite players, and I found out he really was into Jim Davis as well, so that was at least nice. He wasn't, you know, a jerk about beating me, and we just had a good time. Mm. Round 3, I played a kid that was playing green-white with the new Onofenza. He had High Sentinels in there and Fleece Mane Lion. Those High Sentinels were just, like, keeping my Mantis Rider, like, at bay the whole time. That was pretty bad. I did beat him game 1, and then he beat me games 2 and 3. He was the most serious business 12-year-old I have ever met in my entire life. He's sitting across from me, and we're starting to get ready to play the first game, and he is, like, riffle shuffling like crazy. He, you know, he draws his hand, and he shuffle, shuffle, shuffle back and forth. I'm like, who is this kid? I'm like, no kids around me play this way. So we play, and he's doing the draw the card off the top, sweep it across the playmat. I'm like, who is this kid? So after we played, I think, game 2, I said, do you mind if I ask how old you are? And he's like, 12. I'm like, sweet. And I'm like, how long have you been playing? He's like, 3 years. And I'm just like, that's so awesome. But he was just nice and, you know, funny. And he was a good player, you know, pretty quiet. Some of the guys that were from his local store where I played at, they walked back and they're like, what are you doing back here? And he's like, playing green, white, jank. And I'm just like, okay, it's working for you. But man, if he ever makes, like, the pro tour, I'm going to be like, that kid beat me when he was 12 years old and hot damn. But he was fun to play against. And then it was 5 rounds. I only played to round 4 because the last deck I played was red deck wins. And it had Lightning Berserker in it. Mm-hmm. And it was not fun. It's like, play one for dash, you know, bring it back. Had, like, another one they played out swung at me for like, they pumped it for 6+. I was like, Jesus, I can't even handle this. Mm-hmm. And I played him before, and he's just never pleasant to play against. I don't know why. I call him the backpacker because he always plays with his backpack on his lap. And so whenever he has to make tokens, he like fishes in the backpack and pulls them out. And he's just kind of shifty in, like, I don't know. He's not nice. He's just kind of shifty and squirrely. Now, if he was a nice guy, I'd find it endearing. But I don't know. He was like, you can't do that. Or I made a mistake. And he'd be like, you can't tap that for mana. With my flooded strand, I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, because I was going to crack it, and I just forgot. But it was just kind of like being snippy. It's like, dude, we are both here. You're not winning anything at this point. Like, just relax. This is just for funsies to have a good time. So after I had to deal with him, I'm like, I'm out. So then I went and soothed my sorrows in the Wendy's parking lot and then drove myself home. So, yeah, not so good, but hopefully...
I thought you were going shopping.
Oh, I did. I did. Yes,
did you shop for Wendy's?
No. No, I walked around the store afterwards. I went to Moxmania in Madison. And I'd never been there before, so I kind of was perusing what they had. And they had the Jason Voraska dual deck box. And I'd always wanted it, and they had it like on clearance for like $5. And I was like, sure, I'll buy it. I get to have a Jace deck box. Like, of course I would. So... I got that, the M14 Jace playmat with Memory Adept on it because I've wanted it for a long time and it just happened to be there. And then I picked up some cards for my modern sideboard. So I just kind of milled around, did that, and then went to Wendy's and then drove home. So correction, I didn't just go to Wendy's, I did go shopping. Yeah. So I felt a little better after I left and I had some time to decompress. And I was like, this is just a passing thing, you know, you'll have fun at the next one.
Yeah. Chris, how did you feel about some of the one-ofs you decided to include in your deck? Because I know you were waffling about that for a couple days beforehand.
I actually decided not to put, I don't think, either one in there. Instead, what I did was I put in, I think, what did I do? I put in a Living Lore as a one-of.
Of course you did.
Yeah. And I put in an Anticipate instead of the two red cards I had talked about. Sadly, didn't see the Living Lore. I know it was lulzy, and people are like, why would you put that in there? I don't know, because I felt like it.
So I put that in there. Do you have Treasure Cruise in the deck?
Yes, there's one in the main, and there's one in the sideboard.
So you get to exile Treasure Cruise with it sometimes.
Well, that's what I wanted to do. I'm like, come on, just let me draw it once. I just want to live the dream. No, there was just, you know, everything was just way too fast for me to deal with. I mean, the only thing I probably could have maybe gotten it out with was... versus the blue-black player, but he was like, nope, get rid of this, kill that, blah, blah, like that. I'm like, yep, you're doing what I would have done, so sounds about right. But I don't know. I don't think I'm going to play it this week for FNM. I think I'm going to play my modern deck instead.
Cool. I'm just curious what else is in the backpack.
Oh, my God. I don't know. The only the other thing I've ever seen him with, and I swear to you, he wears the same, like, sweatshirt every time I see him. Like, not a hoodie. It's just, like, a sweatshirt. Mm-hmm. It's, like, this navy blue sweatshirt. But he has, like, a big notebook with, like, I think graph paper in it. And I can never read his handwriting. So I'm like, what is my life total Q? Like, that doesn't make any sense. I don't know. If we ever see him at an event, I will point him out to you.
When you say big notebook to me, do you know what I think of?
What?
Okay, did you ever see Romy and Michelle's high school reunion?
I can't say I have. I'm horrible, I know.
Have any of you?
No.
No.
Oh, no. I'm the only one who's seen it? Okay, I'll have to tell you. So you have to see it because it's a hilarious movie. And do you know what it's about, at least?
No. I think so.
Vaguely.
I am replacing you all next week. This is a travesty. Anyways, so Mira Sorvino and Lisa Kudrow play these really awkward girls in high school, and they grow up to be the best of friends, and you know, they don't have much, but they're happy, and they're weird, and they're sort of valley girls, and they decide to go back to their 10-year high school reunion, and they lie and say that they invented Post-it notes so that they can seem more successful than they really are. But anyways, there was a kid who was a nerdy guy in high school named Sandy Frank, and whenever he would see Michelle, he would hold his notebook by his crotch so he would hide his boner. So you could always tell when he was happy to see her because he would keep his notebook really low. So when you said he has a really big notebook, I immediately thought of Sandy Frank hiding his boner around Michelle. And I'm like, maybe he needs it to just hide his boner.
Maybe that's why he has the backpack on. I don't know. Maybe he's one of those people that gets nervous while playing and has issues or something. I don't know. No disrespect. Oh, my God.
All right, backpacker, if you are listening, tell us what the backpack is all about. We won't judge you, but we do really want to know. So are there events you're looking forward to this weekend? Anything on the schedule?
I get to play Modern at a pre-TQ.
Yay.
What are you going to play?
I think I'm going to run back the four-color control with some minor updates. It's kind of the same. It's in a different town, but all of the players will be the same crowd. It's interesting in Montana because you basically know what every other competitive player is playing at all times. And so metagaming is, like, sometimes it feels a little inbred, and then sometimes it feels like you have to next level the meta. Mm. And so it's kind of an interesting combination because you always know what everybody else is playing, even if they're playing, like, a different deck than normal. So I'm just going to run it back. I like Cryptic Command.
Me too. If I could always remember all of the things that it does. Oh my God. Because I had to play versus, oh God, what was he playing? I played Modern last Friday, and there was a kid that was playing this enchantment deck, but it was some white spell that if he cast it, like, it goes on the stack and he keeps on being able to cast it.
Enduring Ideal?
Yeah, Enduring Ideal. That's it. And so
that deck is bullshit. I'm just throwing it out there. I had to face that in Baltimore and I was not pleased.
I was like, I'm sorry, what? Like, I'm like, this is too much for me to deal with. Like, I could have gone out and had, like, I don't know, a couple shots after that. Like, it was too much. And then I played this other kid who he's playing, what is he playing? He was playing some deck with, like, Hornet Queen and all this whatever, but he uses Retraction Helix to, like, bring something else back to make, like, a shit ton of, like, flying bees to fly at you. So I had to keep him at bay for 3 turns with, like, Cryptic Command and all this whatever. And I was like, for real right now? And he's like, if you live to the next turn, I'm going to be so pissed. And I was like, guess what, buddy? So, yeah, I don't know. It was too much. If this is the world of Modern, I want out.
Yeah, I will be playing in a TCG States event on Saturday. I will be playing Obliterator Rock, as listed by Adrian Sullivan. Hello, Adrian. And it just looks like so much fun. It's your basic green-black deck. No third color, so it's just green-black. But you're running 3 Phyrexian Obliterator in the main, 1 in the sideboard. And you're also using Setessan Tactics.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. That's a cool card.
So, like, you can target the Obliterator, make it fight something, and then that person then has to sacrifice permanence. So, for example, if you're playing Tron and you play up against a Wyrmcoil Engine, Wyrmcoil Engine is normally really scary, but you can pop Setessan Tactics on your Obliterator, make it a 6/6. Yeah, they're going to kill each other, but now your opponent has to sacrifice 6 permanence. And odds are they're only going to have the Wyrmcoil and a bunch of land, and they have to sacrifice all their land, and it's just a really good feeling. For me, at least.
No, I'd love it, too.
Yeah, so, right. And, I mean, the whole theory is that Obliterator is, like you said, next level, where Siege Rhino, yeah, Siege Rhino is cute and all, but put it up against a 5/5 trample, you can't. You either have to go over Obliterator, you have to remove Obliterator, or you have to do something. So it's just a really nice way to sort of, you know, make people think a little bigger than what they have been. Little Junk is still a thing. You have all these people that are curving out into Voice of Resurgence, into Kitchen Finks, into Wiltleaf Liege. Well, you know, put an Obliterator in front of them. That can kind of slow them down. And it just looks like fun. So we'll see. I'll take it to FNM first. And if I feel I have a decent shot, I'll take it the next day to the States. And if I don't feel like I did well with it, I'll just suck it up and play Jund. But either way, I will be playing something black-green at States on Saturday.
Nice.
Cool.
So So there was a little bit of drama in the podcasting world. The podcast Heavy Meta, who I'm very big fans of, and they've had me on the show when I was first starting out, and when nobody else would have me on, they really supported me and let me do my thing. They were recently told that they needed to part with one of their co-hosts, Tristan Sean Gregson, or else the site that sponsors them, Mana Deprived, would lose their sponsor, Face-to-Face Games, and then they would not get sponsorship either. Like, Face-to-Face would pull out from Mana Deprived, and then the show would not get sponsorship either, and it was this big thing. Their listeners were obviously very upset about this. The Heavy Meta SVU is a very passionate fan base, so they were rightfully very upset, and people are wondering how could this happen. What did you all think about, like, this? This was pretty scary.
Yeah, so based on what I read, so Face-to-Face Games is joining forces with Channel Fireball now. They co-sponsored a team for the last Pro Tour, like their two teams sort of merged and tested together. And it was rumored that the reason why he was asked to leave was because he had had some bad blood with Channel Fireball, that he had worked for them in the past. And sometime during Avacyn Restored, a bunch of their cards went missing, and an eBay seller who turned out to be TSG was selling those same cards. So Channel Fireball parted ways with him, and from what I've heard just through the Reddit links that we've looked at, like, it sounds like this is, you know, snowballing from that. And I guess what I'm wondering is, like, is this justified? Like, he isn't working directly with Channel Fireball and obviously doesn't have the same connection to the company that he used to have. But, you know, is it still bad for him to be aligned with them? Like, what do you guys think?
Well, and that it seemed like, I thought that happened in, like, 2012.
It was a while ago.
Yeah, it was during Avacyn Restored.
Okay.
From what I could tell, there weren't any, like, actual charges pressed. Like, there wasn't anything that stuck. You know, he was accused of things. I wasn't around when all of this happened. I had TSG on my show after the fact. Mm-hmm. And full disclosure, I really like the guy. He's been good to me. I don't really have a dog in the fight. But from what I understand, everything he was accused of didn't really stick. There was nothing. Mm-hmm. There were no charges filed, you know, what have you. Even if he did do it, that was a long time ago, where, you know, say that he was a cheater and he was banned and he served his time away from the game. We allow cheaters to come back to the game and start over again.
Right.
If he did do this, enough time has passed. Why are we still fixated on this? Why are they not willing to let this go to where they would... It does feel personal to me. It doesn't feel professional, where I could see if he was behind the booth at a Face-to-Face event and he was working with cards. I could see there being some apprehension there, but it's sort of like getting mad at, like, your second cousin once removed, where he's on the podcast that is sponsored by Face-to-Face Games. He doesn't work at Face-to-Face Games. He has no... I don't even know what he's getting from Face-to-Face Games. It just seems like such a reach to go after somebody like that. I just don't understand.
Yeah, that was kind of how I felt, too.
Yeah.
Right, why are you going to punish other people for someone's possible mistake in the past? There was no actual proof from what I saw, from what I read. The police did get involved. I mean, he said that they went and they searched all his stuff. They didn't find anything. You know, at this point, if he did do it, like you said, he, you know, probably realizes internally that he did something wrong if it was something that he legitimately did. And how do you expect anyone to ever be any better if you don't give them a second chance? I mean, my father's incarcerated. Does that mean when he gets out, he shouldn't be able to have a good life or be a good person? I mean, he's a different person now than he was then. The same could be said for him.
Mm-hmm. I could see how, you know, if Channel Fireball... I mean, I don't know. It seems like it was quite a while ago, and so it shouldn't really be, like, fresh news to anyone. But if there's a lot of, you know, fans of Channel Fireball who think that TSG should have been punished more severely than he was, or whatever the case, I could see Channel Fireball not wanting to have their name on the same thing as somebody who they've previously been like, this guy was stealing from us. you know, whether or not that was, like, founded or not.
I guess it just worried me as a content provider because I'm no angel. We all know this. It, you know, it worries me to think that somebody has the power to do something like that. So, like, let's say Star City's just not feeling me anymore. Or Star City's like, oh, that bitch is telling another tilting story. She's doing something. She's flirting with another judge. She's trouble. We don't like her. And Star City calls up Cool Stuff Inc. and says, you know what? You sponsor Gathering Magic. You sponsor this show. We're not going to let you vend at our events if you keep sponsoring this hoe. We just don't like her. We're not doing it. And then Cool Stuff calls Adam Szaborski and says, Stibbs, Aaron's got to go or we won't sponsor you anymore. It's really scary to think that somebody has the power to do that, that you can be doing your thing, thinking you're not hurting anybody, thinking that you're living your life, possibly making some mistakes, but that somebody, again, two tiers away from you can just flex that muscle and you're gone, and that your sponsor has to be put in that position, the site that hosts you has to be put in that position. You know, KYT didn't sleep. He was, you know, sick with worry, I'm under the impression. This was stressful for everybody involved, mm-hmm. and, you know, maybe I'm just being paranoid, but there is this feeling that it could happen to anybody. You know, who's to say that any one of these big names doesn't like one of us and just decides to do something about it? That's really scary for me.
Mm-hmm. So. Great.
Yeah. So with the release of Dragons of Tarkir came a batch of new decks from Tomoharu Saito, who's a Japanese pro player. He's brilliant. They have started calling this Saito Wayfinder.
Mm-hmm.
And he usually releases about 12 to 15 decks. They're very loose. Like, they're not really fine-tuned. They usually don't have sideboards. He used to just spam Twitter with them, but he took it to Instagram this time. And he released 15 decks, and people were, of course, very excited about them. This is a big event. Did you check these out? Were there any decks that you were excited by?
Can I just say that he makes his decks look beautiful? Just, like, the way he arranges them, it's just, like, so aesthetically pleasing. Mm-hmm. So my testing partner and I usually just send the pictures to each other, and we spend, like, half the time just ogling at how beautiful all the lands are laid out.
You'll notice all of his lands match.
Yes.
As they should.
So I saw that he had, like, a mono-red goblins list.
Gobelisk.
Goblins, sorry.
Oh, no, it was called Gobelisk.
Because it had
a bird.
Yeah.
Sorry, I thought you said never mind.
No, I was just commenting that he called it Gobelisk because of Obelisk Bird. It had a cute little name.
That is cute. It looks pretty solid. I saw that there was, like, a mono-red that did well, I think, at the Invitational. And I'm just wondering between the two decks, which one is better? Because it seems like maybe the obelisk is a little cutesy or just not as efficient of a card as it could be. But I feel like we finally reached the point where we have enough sweet goblin cards to make that deck actually viable. So I was kind of excited about that one.
Mm-hmm. I actually think Obelisk has a purpose in that deck because a deck like this typically falls apart to something like Drown in Sorrow, mm-hmm. and it also doesn't have the best late game in the world. Like, they typically want to destroy you in the first couple of turns, and if they can't, they don't know how to come back from that. But I feel like the Obelisk does a good job of bringing this deck to the mid game, to the late game, and if your opponent doesn't have those immediate answers, you know, they're much bigger now, so you can't lean on Drown in Sorrow, you can't lean on Doomlake Giant as hard, you do need more answers for, you know, these creatures that are no longer just small, they're actually a little bigger.
Mm-hmm.
So, but this is actually a deck, you know, I don't normally like red, mm-hmm. but, like, this is cute. Like, I would putz with this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't really play red either, but, you know, I do like to win. And if this deck wins, then I'm more than happy to play it.
Yeah, Mono Red has been the number one deck on Magic Online for a while, and it could be just because it's so affordable, but it's been in front of Abzan Control. Typically, it's Mono Red number one, Abzan Control number two, but yeah, Mono Red is back with a vengeance.
Yeah, I mean, it's always popular on Magic Online, but it seems like it's actually quite good now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I thought his dragon's deck was really interesting.
Yeah.
He just had, like, all of these different one-of dragons, like, one of all the dragons from Fate Reforged, one of all the dragons from Dragons of Tarkir, and then, like, all of these other just, like, random dragons. There were, like, I don't know, something like 24 one-of dragons in there. And it was just, I don't know. It's not a deck that I would ever play because I like consistency, and it seems more like you have to know which dragon to use in every situation, and it probably plays very differently in different games, but I don't know. It was really interesting to think about. His Corpse Weft deck was funny too.
That one spoke to me.
Fun. Because you're a graveyard girl. You can hang with Sidisi and Tasigur.
Speaking of Sidisi, did you see what Bae played at the Invitational?
No, what
I'm guessing it was Jen.
Was it like Sidisi Whip or something?
Bae played a Sultai Reanimator and got all the way to second place.
Oh, man, that's after so bad your own heart.
You know, he speaks to me, you guys. He gets me. And I was so upset when Jacob Wilson beat him. I was just like, you know, Jacob Wilson, you're adorable, you're cute as a button, you're hella talented, but that's Bae. Like, I was so confident going into it, too, where, you know, he made top 8. And I was like, congratulations, Reed. And they were like, there's other games that have. Yeah. Congratulations, Reed. And then, you know, he made it to the semis and the quarters. And I was sitting at home and I was so excited. And he lost in such a disappointing manner, too. Like, he had to mulligan a lot. And my heart broke.
Yeah, he only had one land, I think, for that last game. I literally walked in the door. I'm like, oh, shit, Reed Duke. And then it was like, and then he lost. I'm like, but they're. Oh, it was just sad. I felt so bad for him. He's still a winner.
I know. But yeah, Corpse Swats actually has been getting a lot of good buzz where people are really thinking you could do something with it. And I'm all for it. I do love a nice graveyard interaction myself.
Yeah. I want to do the blue-red control deck that he posted. That might be fun. It has all of my favorites in there and then some I haven't played with yet. So that should be pretty cool. So that one seems pretty dope. I like putting Narset into the Jeskai Tempo deck and seeing if she fits there. That might be interesting to check out. And I have 4 Yisans. I'd like to be able to use those now, considering that I haven't yet. So that
did one I ever tell cool you the too. Story of your friend Paul and that Yisan deck you brought to an event?
I don't think you told me the whole story.
Okay, so I was at an event once with her friend Paul. Again, not knowing that we all knew each other. So I'm thinking he's just some annoying guy that I'm never going to have to see again. Turns out he's like Chris's testing buddy, and they go like way back together, and I'm like, shit. So he's playing this like Simic, Nykthos, green-blue devotion with Yisan, and then he's like stacking his Yisan triggers. So like he taps Yisan, and then Kiora's follower, and then untaps it, and then does it again to get another counter, so he gets to search for 2 things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was just all sorts of not cool. And I'm like, really? Like, what did I do that was unchristian to deserve this? And he just started shitting creatures, and I was just like, ugh. Like, I don't like you. And it was just so over the top. And then, like I said, I had no idea that I'd have to run into him at Chris's local game store. And she's like, oh, this is my friend Paul. And I'm like... And he looks at me, and I look at him, and I'm like, yeah. We've met.
I say, watch out, then. I think they're coming up there this weekend. I'm not going, but the game will be out in full force, I'm sure.
I'll be sure to bring a flask. Who knows what they're going to bring.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually really excited by the Corpse Weft deck, which you mentioned. Gobelisk was neat. I also liked the Black-Red Dragons deck.
Oh, yeah, that one was awesome.
It was a Black-Red control deck, I'm assuming, and it has 4 Stormbreath Dragon, 3 Kolaghan, the Thunderbreak Regent, I think it's called, one of the monuments, the Kolaghan Monument, Outpost Siege, and Hero's Downfall, Crux of Fate. So if you just claim dragons and all you have is dragons, that's a neat little board wipe. And I would totally play this. I think a nice little like Rakdos control deck would be fun.
Yeah.
And I think it could be I would play this. And I know I've been hearing things about Draconic Roar. There's been a lot of buzz about that when they're comparing it to Searing Blaze.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that could be fun if you have that many dragons in your deck.
Mm-hmm.
So I love Saito. I think he's so brilliant. And just in general, I love seeing the tech that comes out of Japan and especially China, too. There's a Japanese website called Happy MTG where you can find deck lists from Japanese events. And if you just go through it and see, like, the cards they put in, these really common archetypes, it just blows my mind. Like, I really feel like we just don't see that level of ingenuity here. I mean, don't get me wrong, we do, but just some of the things they come up with are just so next level where it's like, what?
Yeah, like how he put Collected Company in a mono blue deck.
Yeah.
I was looking at that and I was like, wow, that I would not think to do that, but that's really awesome.
Yeah. I remember when I was watching the footage from GP Shizuka and they came up with that Esper Humans deck.
Oh, yeah.
And it looked so uneven where you were like, leave Sky Knight with Obsidot and Precinct Cat? What? And, you know, for a month or two, I thought it was just ridiculous. And then I sleeved it up for myself and it was so good.
Yeah.
And, you know, there was just nothing like that coming out of here. And I love, you know, I love watching the deck list that come out of Asian events because it's just so brilliant. And I love seeing what they come up with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Robert played the Esper Humans deck also. He played it in, I think it was GP Vancouver in 2013, I guess it was. Mm-hmm. He did really, really well with it. He came just short of making day two, which is like the best that he's ever done at a Magic tournament. And I was really skeptical about the deck at first. I was like, there are a lot of cards in here that I've never seen in play in Standard before. And then he did really well with it. And he was like, seriously, you should play it. Like, it's your kind of deck. It's a tempo deck. And I was like, okay, sure. So I sleeved it up and I like won a bunch of FNMs with it like, preceding weeks.
Nice. We received another listener email from a guy in Norway.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, international fans. He sent the email to Katie, actually, and she forwarded it to us, and it says, "Hi, Katie and the rest of you. Being a male Magic player, I am frequently curious about how the increasing population of female players in Norway experiences the game and its society. Therefore, I find your show immensely enjoyable and a tonic of vitality, as I tend to listen to you during lectures of varying degrees of invigoration." Loving the big words here.
Yeah, he's got a great vocabulary.
We are a tonic of vitality. That's pretty awesome. "At my nearby Magic store, I found male players who forget to attack female players, saying, 'Pass the turn. Oops, forgot to attack. Oh well, your turn.' There was also a player I saw playing against a girl who discarded the perfect answer to her board state when she plussed her Liliana of the Veil and promptly lost. For the record, I know this man to play very well. Variations of this happen nearly every time girls sit down to play, and I don't know if the men do this, intending to patronize or flirt, because their tones indicate either or both, and it really irks me. If I sat down playing a mature female Magic player who played me with rhetoric along the lines of, 'If you are a good boy, I will not destroy your demon,' I would get infuriated. The few women I have asked about this are a bit exasperated by this. Have you had any experience with this initially coming into Magic, and what are your thoughts? Sincerely, Bjorn Olav."
This is really tricky because of the nature of the game that, you know, you can't see your opponent's hands at all time. Like, it's really hard to tell if that's happening to you, you know? Like, it's hard to tell if your opponent is just making mistakes or is intentionally making mistakes or, you know, what their actual game plan is.
So you're saying you've never been able to prove that a guy was pulling punches with you?
Yeah, I haven't. Like, have you guys? Or what do you think?
No.
I don't think it's ever happened. I've definitely gotten some really good trades because I was a female.
Hmm.
And things of that sort. I don't know if I've directly ever had it happen in a game where I was like, oh, he's just going easy on me because I'm a girl.
Mm.
I can say I've had the opposite happen, where I felt like guys have gone harder on me because I'm a girl.
Hmm. Interesting.
Where I feel like, you know, I've seen guys who have, when I've seen them play matches with fellow guys, there is sort of that bromance there, and they're very jovial and very dude, and they're having a really good time. And I feel like I've had the opposite, where they feel like they, you know, we've talked about guys who will sometimes dumb themselves down because they think they're going to beat you, or they think you're going to be a bye. And then there are the people who play you just like a normal human being. And then there are the ones who just don't show anything.
Yeah.
And I don't know why that is, but I have had a number of guys who will get more aggressive with me. And I'm not sure why that is. And I can take it. Like, don't get me wrong. It's not that I'm some wilting flower or anything, but you know, I have noticed a shift sometimes where I will see a guy play another guy and he's very different. He's a lot more fun. And then he plays me and suddenly it's game face and he doesn't let anything slide. And maybe it's because he thinks that I'm trying to pull something. Like maybe he thinks I'm that kind of person.
Mm-hmm.
Where like, oh, if I give her an inch, she'll take a mile, or she's going to try to flirt her way out of this one. So I'm going to be just, you know, really alpha about it. I'm not sure, but that's something I've experienced. I've experienced the opposite.
Mm-hmm. Well, and maybe it's because you know, like magic is a game that tends to draw socially awkward people. And if they're not comfortable, you know, with women in general, and then they have to play a woman, sometimes I feel like maybe they just get like nervous and they don't really know how to connect, you know, with their boy opponents, male opponents. It's like, you know, I can connect with this person, I can bro with them or whatever. Oh, but now it's a girl. Maybe that's a little bit more intimidating for them. And so they're just like, okay, well, let's just play the game.
Yeah. Like, I have had opponents who were noticeably awkward and uncomfortable around me, but I don't think that affected the way they actually played the game. Like, it affected the conversations we had, like, before and after. Like, I always try to make conversation with my opponent, especially if I go to a bigger event. Like, I'll ask them, like, how long they've been playing, where they're from, so on and so forth. Just, like, exchanging pleasantries. And some people are kind of awkward about it and don't want to talk so much, and that's fine. But like, I've never felt like my opponent was playing a certain way during the game because I'm female. It always manifested itself, you know, in the conversations we had outside of the game, not in the game itself.
Mm-hmm. How would you feel if you found out that your opponent did do that? Like, let's say that you had seen their hand, like maybe you cast a Thought Seizer or a Duress. Oh, who am I kidding? I'm talking to Blue Mirror.
I've cast that card like 2 times or something.
But let's say that you were able to prove that. Like, let's say you were able to look at their hand, or even they volunteered it to you afterwards. If you knew that they had the outs and they just simply weren't playing that, how would you feel about that?
I'd be like, ew. Going easy on women in a competitive setting is not hot or cool, in my opinion. Because then that makes me feel like I'm not on your level. And no one wants to have that feeling. I've never had anyone go easy on me, but if it happened, I'd be like, why? I don't understand. Like, we both just want to be somewhat competitive and have fun, especially if it was like at a bigger tournament. Like, I don't know if in the email he's talking about larger scale events or just an F&M. I mean, either one, it would kind of feel somewhat condescending, and I wouldn't be down with that.
Mm-hmm. I guess for me, it would have, you know, I think like a year ago or so, it would have bugged me a lot more. But I feel like the more competitive I get, it's just like a win is a win. And I kind of don't care. But afterwards, I'd probably be like, so why didn't you play that card? Like, you know, just be like, you know, I can see that you're a good player. Why did not, like, why didn't you make what I would think would be the correct play? Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I guess it wouldn't really bother me that much. Like, if they want to go easy and then get demolished, like, whatever. I'll demolish you. That's fine. I guess that's kind of my take on it.
Yeah, I agree with Chris on this one. And at the same time, too, I also would worry that, you know, say they go easy on me and that, you know, they beat me and, you know, guys talk. And so I wonder, you know, if he did that with me, you know, when after the match happens, they always ask how your match went, you know, would he say that? Like, would he be like, oh, I let her have it, you know, poor thing? Or would it be, you know, I just feel like they wouldn't give you the same respect, where if you had put up a fight and they fought you tooth and nail, they're more likely to say, yeah, she put up a really good fight. You know, she really made me work for it, versus going, I let her win. She only won because I let her win. You know, I worry that even though I would get that win, they wouldn't give me the same respect as if I had truly earned it. You know what I mean?
Right.
where it would be, you only won because I gave it to you. You only won because I let you. Whereas the other way, oh no, fool, I earned this. You know, you can't take that from me. But I feel like, you know, I just, and maybe it's just me, you know, maybe I do think too much about what other people think and say, but I would just be worried about what they might say afterwards, where, you know, it, they would try to still take that away from me.
I would definitely have the same feelings. And it's weird because after, you know, having you read out his email and hear what he had to say, I can say that I have not experienced some of these different feelings or different scenarios in other games. Magic is the only one I think that I've ever noted people having an, you know, an issue maybe similar to that, or, you know, just having strife between, I guess, men and women. I used to play HeroClix competitively, and I never really had any problems playing that game. No one really gave me any weird standoffish attitudes. People were really welcome to be like, oh, hey, you know, nice to meet you. Oh, we're going to play. Oh, let's roll our D6. We and just have a good time. And maybe it was because our love of comic books brought us together, and maybe that gave us some kind of common ground. I don't know, but I feel like, you know, role-playing games and other stuff, I don't get that same vibe like some of these weird issues that happen in Magic.
Yeah.
Speaking of things not to do around women, I don't know if I told you guys about Andrea Mengucci, how he sent me this really long Facebook message.
No, he didn't.
Okay. I'll have to forward it to you guys because he's super lovely. But he brought up something that was a cultural thing. He was telling me a story about how, you know, his friend had done something embarrassing when there was a girl at the table. And he said, one very funny thing about having a girl at the table or nearby during matches is that males usually do bad things, such as burp, blame God. This is more of an Italian thing. And when a girl is around, this is less polite to do, and people always excuse to her. I found that very interesting, that it, in Italian culture, if you blame God for something in front of a woman, it's considered to be rude and you should excuse yourself. Where, like, you know, I wouldn't think of that being on the list of things that, you know, they, you know, would have to excuse or that they think a woman might find offensive. That was interesting. Like, you can't say, God damn it, you know, and you're around a lady, and you can't say that. That's horribly uncouth. Cool.
This kind of, I feel like this topic just ties into last week when we were talking about, what's his name? The guy that was doing the video about female streamers.
Oh, yeah, Sky Williams.
Sky Williams.
Yeah. I've had people be like, well, Magic is easier for you because you're a girl. And I feel like that's a thing that comes up a lot. People think that, people go out of their way to be nice to you. You know, I've definitely gotten a couple good trades because I'm a female. How do you guys feel about using your femaleness in Magic? Like, I've had people be like, oh, well, because you're a girl, you get all these things. And sometimes that's just not the case.
Let me tell you, as a single woman playing this game, you cannot accuse me of playing this game for dates because everybody is taken. And we're talking, like, happily taken. We're not talking, like, taken, and if you're wearing the right perfume, we can negotiate. No. They are locked down, girlfriend, marriage, kids. Nobody can accuse me of that because my success rate is, like, not even close. So the few times, I'll admit, there was one time I ever tried to flirt my way out of a game. And I think it was with your friend Steve, Chris.
Oh, man.
With the big duffel bag. We were both playing Jund. We were at a TCG 5K. We were both playing... No. He was playing Jund mid-range. I was on Kibler's Predator Ooze deck with Uvenwald Tracker.
Ooh, bear punch.
Right? And I had no chance. And he was cute anyway at the time, so it was like a two birds, one stone kind of thing. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to flirt my way out of this. So I'm like trying to play footsie. I'm like chewing on the end of my pen seductively. You know, so where are you from? You must work out. And it totally didn't work. He was so focused on the game. He totally kicked my butt. And from that point on, it was like, don't even bother, because this is no one's caring. No one's interested in that. No one's even looking for that. Just total blinders. So just don't even bother.
Oh, man. Well, to get back to what Katie was asking, like, I found that it's actually the opposite. Like, I found that I've had a much harder time getting men to take me seriously because I'm female. Like, I think the most common adage that I use is that men have not taken me seriously as a Magic player until after I've beaten them. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I have to beat them twice to prove that the first time wasn't just a fluke or variance or something. Like, there are a number of guys who, like, I don't know about didn't take me seriously, but, like, completely ignored me. And then I would beat them in a game and, you know, it would be a really good game, good back and forth. And I, you know, made good plays. And then after that, they would just be like all buddy buddy with me and like want to talk to me about things. And it was like, it's like you sort of have to undergo this rite of passage in order to, I don't know, be treated a certain way by the men at the game store. And I feel like that shouldn't be there. I feel like we shouldn't have to jump through hoops.
Yeah, like, so in my trade experience, you know, I was trading, and we were off by, like, $5 or $6, like, more than just, like, oh, it's off by a buck or two, we'll just let it go. And the guy was like, oh, well, you can just have it because you're cute. And I was like, well, no, I don't need it because I'm cute. Like, you can take another card or whatever. And he just, like, refused to keep trading with me. And I've also had experiences where somebody just refuses to trade with me because I'm female. Like, I went up to a kid who's probably, like, early 20s, and I was like, hey, do you want to trade? I'm looking for this card, and I have this card, which I heard you were looking for. And he just looked so frightened, like, and he didn't say anything, and he, like, looked both ways, and then he kind of just, like, backed away from me. I was like, okay. And then he went up to my friend Brooke, who just loves trading, and he's like, hey, I'm looking for this card. Do you have it? And Brooke was like, no, but I think Katie does. And the kid looked at me, and he's like, nah, that's okay. I was like, okay. I guess not. Okay, bye. And so I've had, like, I don't know, people say, like, well, you get free trades and all this. And I'm like, well, no, I don't want that. And then people also just won't trade with me sometimes. And I don't know if you guys have had, like, experiences like that. Because it seems like people accuse females of using their womanness to get them farther. And I feel like it's really holding me back sometimes. Like, I'd rather just be a male going to a Magic tournament.
Yeah. No, that hasn't happened to me. But then again, I don't really trade that much. I'm a card hoarder.
Yeah. Same.
Yeah, I was earning store credit from doing the deck tease, so I would just get the cards I wanted directly from Cool Stuff, so I really didn't have a reason to trade with people. And then the cards that I wasn't using anymore, I would just trade through Puka Trades, so I don't really get to trade very much either. Mm-hmm. Although when you say womanness, I can't help but think of the Birdcage.
Love it.
You've at least seen
the Birdcage. Oh, yes, many times.
Okay, and the character who says is Guatemalan. And that's all I could think of, my natural
He said shrimps instead of shrimps.
Right.
Oh, my God. Me and my mom used to rock that movie all the time. Love it.
So you're basically saying that your natural heat is
too much. It's just too much. I need to turn down the heat, I guess.
Katie the Heat Neal.
Yeah, I didn't think there was a lot of heat there, but apparently it's overwhelming.
You need to put that on your next deck list. You need to be like Katie the Heat Neal.
Okay.
No, you need to put that on your judgment.
Like, just can, like, I have a heat come to my table, please?
By the way, Aaron, fantastic. Will I be seeing you in Vegas?
I have been looking up airfare costs. I have been talking to Hallie about possibly sharing her hotel room. And it is looking promising that I will be going to Vegas.
Yay.
I wasn't going to, but I have been I've been going back to therapy for some depression that I've had. And part of that, you know, has been, you know, really reassessing why I go to events. And so there were events that I was going to go to instead of Vegas, but, you know, I go to events to see people. I go to events to be social. And, you know, there's nobody I know who's going to GP Charlotte. Ignore the sirens.
The cops are coming for you.
I'm giving you guys the alibis now. But, you know, so I was going to go to GP Charlotte, and I was going to go to, you know, these things, but it's like, I don't know anybody who's going. And so I need to be going to events because I want to see people, not going to events, and then if somebody happens to be there, that's great. I'm not JD, and I'm not Feline. I'm not going to take these events down. I'm just being more realistic about why I go to events. So I'm fine skipping Charlotte to see you three or you two at Vegas and everybody else, you know, that's why I go to events. So I'm willing to put off, you know, three events where I'm going to know nobody for one event where I will know a lot of people, and that will be why I go. So I just have to make sure I have the money for it and finding a good flight. And Hallie has agreed to share her room with me and split the costs. And I'm 95% sure I'm going to Vegas.
Now we just need to convince Chris.
Right.
Well, I wish. Unfortunately, I have to work that weekend, and my work is really crazy about trying to trade on a Saturday. Otherwise, I'm sure I could rope someone out here into being like, yeah, let's totally go, man. It'll be awesome.
You don't understand, though. That Lotus of Siam place that Katie was plugging, I looked at their menu the other day. Do you know what they have?
I don't.
You need to hold on for this. They have stuffed chicken wings.
At a Thai restaurant?
What are they stuffed with? I'm so interested now. I like things inside of things, so I'm okay with that.
Are you a fan of turducken?
I have never had it before. If someone made it, I'd be down for trying it.
Okay, so I have the menu right here. Okay, so Lotus I Am, stuffed chicken wings. Okay, hold on. This is going to be raunchy. Okay. I can cut this out at editing. I can cut this out at editing.
Everyone, put on your seatbelts.
I'm bracing for impact.
Okay, where is it? Okay, noodles, fried rice, curries, northern, chef's choice. They have something called drunken noodles, but that's neither here
is
nor
it
there.
Under appetizers?
Here we go. Chicken wings stuffed with ground pork, deep fried, served.
Sorry.
Yeah, I heard pork, and I'm like, okay, stop. Can't listen anymore.
Served with homemade sweet and sour sauce. Fine, more for me.
Well, that sounds great. I was mmming and not ugh-ing.
Oh, I thought you ugh-ed. Oh, okay. I thought you ugh-ed.
No, pork, okay. Chicken, all up in the same. Duda. Great.
Making it all lumpy.
Making it all lumpy. Everybody likes lumpy doodas.
Kind of like the cow and the chicken, like from South Park or whatever. I'd be down with that.
I don't know. If we keep talking, we're going to make Hallie lose her lumpy doodas. That's good. So if anybody's enjoyed listening to this show, how can they get a hold of you all and where can they find you?
So I'm Hallie. You can find me on Twitter at HalCanSan. That's HalCanSan. And you can read my articles here on GatheringMagic.com.
I'm Katie, and you can find me on Twitter at KatieN_14 or by email katie.neil14@gmail.com.
And I'm Chris. My Twitter is THKRIZ, so that's to Chris. My Gmail is YOTHKRIZ@gmail.com. And my Tumblr is also to Chris.
And my name is Erin. You can find me on Twitter at Original Estrus. That's OriginalOestrus. You can email me at estrus@elitistjerks.com. The show is on Twitter at the girlfriend bracket, at the GF bracket. You can find us on GatheringMagic.com. And if you have any questions for us, you can email any one of us and we'll make sure the other girls get it. Thank you all so much for listening, and we will see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.